This episode of Our Fair City is brought to you by the Second City Training Center in Chicago. Find your funny this week with a $20 improv drop-in class at the Second City Training Center in Chicago. Your first drop-in is on us. Use the code TESTDRIVE for a free improv drop-in any Sunday at 7 p.m. For more information, go to secondcity.com/TC or call 312-664-3959 to register.
Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by the company you depend upon for all of your greatest needs, Heart Life. These stories are true dramatizations from our fair city's glorious history. So listen and remember. Heart Life, all the life you'll ever need.
No! Work! Damn you!
Gentle policies, we have seen much of the machinations of the ungrateful, the disloyal, the traitorous, and the dangerous. Together we have witnessed the manner by which that most insidious of contagions, ideas, has metastasized into betrayal and destruction by those who would declare themselves rulers over a new company. Now, thanks to a delicate recovery effort, we may glimpse into the heart of Heart Life, the private security recordings of the board of directors. How, dear listeners, will they react to the duplicitous actions of their former policies? What secret plans have they undoubtedly formed to save these misguided fools from themselves? And how will this inevitable rescue manifest itself?
Please, Sophia, no more.
Can't take the heat, Williams. Stay out of the sauna.
Oh, good. Harrison, please tell Sophia that you... What are they doing here?
Nice to see you too, Williams.
We had an agreement. The topaz, platinum, and emerald washrooms are yours. Gold, sapphire, and ruby are ours.
We were invited. Formally.
Harrison, is this true?
We need to talk. All of us. Quan, Bettendorf, Palmer, please make yourselves comfortable. Cromwell, towels.
Here you are, directors.
Thank you.
I don't suppose we could turn the steam down a bit?
No. Sophia?
Good Lord!
Children, play nice.
Now, what is this all about, Harrison? Do you finally have a candidate to propose for the vacant seat?
Possibly one that isn't related to you?
Not exactly. How closely have you been following the situation downstairs?
Not at all. We agreed on a strictly hands-off policy.
Any direct action taken on the board's behalf would only embolden the vocal minority of rebellious policies.
Better to let them self-destruct on their own and let the everyday policies come to their own conclusions.
Ha! A rare unanimous decision.
Through no fault of ours.
I beg to differ.
Do you now?
Directors, please.
Okay, Sophia. That's enough.
I have had Cromwell monitoring the situation below.
Keeping an eye on your daughter, you mean?
And he discovered some disturbing information. Cromwell?
Declaration of ideals and values. What we stand for and how we'll help people.
No, Tim, that's cute, but the first thing we need is a name. Something short and catchy. Something that captures the imagination.
What about Life Heart? You know, because we're the opposite of Heart Life.
I don't know. That still sounds awfully Heart Life-y.
I agree. We should avoid any vestiges of the old that we can. What do you think, Dr. Snitch?
It's just Andrew.
Any suggestions from the lab coats?
What about science? Sorry, I know, but I'd get in trouble if I didn't at least suggest it.
What's in a name? A rose, by any other name, would still be a sneezewort.
No one is going to join a company called Sneezewort. Come on, you guys, we need something important. Something people can get behind.
With little letters after it, so people know it's official.
But not too fancy. It should be practical. Simple.
Maybe a name people already know. Something they're familiar with.
A name that represents the history of the Henderson and his endless struggle in the name of the working class.
I think I've got it.
That's enough, Cromwell.
What about...
They are forming their own company.
What do you mean, their own?
He means that they've declared themselves directors of Heart Life.
I mean, our former policies are creating a new company. A rival. Competition.
What do you mean, competition?
Oh, that is adorable. Play the rest of it. I want to see the whole thing.
This is all I was able to recover, Director.
Nonsense. Patch us through the Department of Memory.
We no longer control the Department of Memory.
Not so adorable after all. I propose we end our hands-off policy and become directly involved once more.
Agreed. Cromwell, call Valentine.
As you wish.
Directors, finally, I need...
Executor Valentine, what exactly is going on? We've just been informed that you've lost the Department of Memory.
That was some time ago, Directors.
And what have you done to rectify the situation?
There's nothing I can do, Director.
Nothing you can do? You're our executor.
If you had responded to any of my messages, you would already know how untenable my position has become.
Watch your tone, Valentine.
I'm losing people every day simply because the rebels have food and I do not. If you would allow me to requisition crops from the executive greenhouses, then maybe we could stem the flood of...
Speaking of food, Executor, where are the high-intensity lamps from the 17th floor laboratories? Executor Valentine?
They have been requisitioned.
By whom?
I gave them to the rebels.
What?
I demand he be killed.
Cube.
I am protecting my people.
By giving away Heart Life's assets?
Right now, lives are more valuable than assets.
That is not the view of the company.
No offense, Director, but you're not here.
Executor Valentine, you have allowed this situation to spiral grossly out of control. You have squandered resources and made tactical mistakes at every turn. We hereby relieve you of duty. All in favor?
Aye.
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 As you wish, Directors.
Please report to the Cube for disciplinary action.
No.
What was that?
Now that I no longer hold the responsibility of executor, I hereby invoke subsection G4 of my Heartlight policy, the cancellation clause.
That clause is meant for the termination of policies.
I believe the original intent was to allow policyholders to take their business elsewhere.
You wouldn't.
Best of luck, Directors. Oh, and next time, answer your damn phone!
He can't do that! Corporate Communication Statute 868 says the directors must always have the last word. Call him back!
Valentine clearly is beyond redemption. Call... what's his name? Chamberson! Have him eliminate the ex-executor.
Agent Chamberlain has been... neutralized.
And what would that accomplish? Killing Valentine now doesn't restore order. It doesn't end this pointless rebellion.
That's an awfully strong word, don't you think?
I agree. It's more of a transitional period with an eye toward restructuring.
What do you propose, Harrison?
We need to make an appearance. In person.
Oh, can't we just send a cameraman?
They have ceased to function due to a lack of energy and food.
We need to reassert our policy's confidence in their board of directors. Their awe, their fear. This is best done in person.
Insubordination cannot be tolerated.
Once their entrepreneurial spirit is properly tamped down and things are working again, then we can dole out disciplinary actions. But for now, we shall meet with the common worker and show them what a real company looks like. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed. Then it's agreed. Cromwell will make the announcement. Towel off. As the Hot Life Management Manual states, never let them see you sweat.
Where would you like the meeting to be held?
Somewhere appropriate, within easy reach of the majority of policies, but high enough to put them out of their element.
The Science Academy lecture hall on floor 12 comes to mind.
Emily's lab is on 12, Cromwell.
Is it?
She did want us to do this from the start. Perhaps she'll see it as conciliatory. More than likely, it'll just piss her off.
Does that matter, Director?
No. Of course you're right, Cromwell. 12 is perfect. Make the call.
Attention policies. Please report to the Science Academy Lecture Hall on floor 12 for a mandatory meeting with the Board of Directors. Repeat, the Board of Directors requires your attendance on floor 12 immediately.
All right, Harrison. Let's do this.
What is wrong with the elevators?
My apologies, Directors. I believe the actuaries tampered with them before they left. I will have to activate the original computer systems.
You didn't tell me the actuaries were gone.
I only learned of it recently, Director.
Welcome to the Hart Life Corporation headquarters, the largest insurance provider in all of Hartford, Connecticut. Here at Hart Life, your well-being is our number one priority. We understand that the world can be unpredictable, and we're here to give you peace of mind by ensuring that whatever bumps you face along the road, you and your loved ones will be taken care of. Hart Life, we'll help you find all the life you'll ever need.
This way, Directors.
You will, of course, be watchful, Cromwell.
Yes, there's no telling what the rabble might have planned.
Your protection is my utmost priority, Directors.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves.
All rise for the Board of Directors.
I don't understand.
Where is everyone?
Cromwell?
Attention policies! Your presence is required at the Science Academy Lecture Hall on floor 12 for a mandatory meeting of the Board of Directors. I repeat, there is a mandatory meeting. All policies are required to attend by order of the Board of Directors.
You there, policy. You're late.
I'm very sorry, Directors.
Are there more behind you?
What was that?
They aren't coming.
Come closer, policy.
I'm very sorry, Directors. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Now, tell us, where is everyone?
They aren't coming, Directors.
Didn't they hear the message?
I think they decided not to come.
They can't do that. It's mandatory. We are the board.
How do you know?
Well, I was at my office, down in forms and files, guarding the triplicate forms.
How diligent of you.
If paperwork falls, so falls civilization.
The forms and files motto. Continue.
Well, I heard the announcement, and it was mandatory, so I left my post. I went into the hall, and there were people there. I thought they were all going to the meeting, but they weren't. They just kept moving medical equipment and fixing wiring, and no one was in the stairwell on the way up.
But you came.
I had to. Well, you're the board.
Come here, child.
Harrison, you can't be serious. One woman does not a company make.
Where there is one loyal policy, there are others. And an effective mouthpiece can find them.
That's far enough.
It's okay, Cromwell. Let her approach her directors.
Policy number 8842 Omicron 10. Reporting as requested.
What's your name, policy?
Catherine. Catherine Sullivan.
Catherine.
My friends call me Sully.
Well then, Sully, how would you like...
The ants called me.
Excuse me?
Did she say ants?
Directors, please stand...
My family called me Mom!
No, no, that can't be! There has to be more. There must be more! Lecture hall surveillance. Hallway cameras. Elevator cameras! They survived! They survived! And when they did, they'd head back to the executive suite to strategize. All I need to do is wait, and one of them will come back to the elevator, safe and sound. You'll see, dear listeners. You'll see! All we need to do is wait.
Loyal Policies, this is executive producer Jeffrey Gardner. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Our Fair City. This episode once again features the spectacular sound design of Misha Stanton. Follow them at MishaETC on Twitter to hear more of their design. If you enjoy our work, please consider setting up a monthly donation at patreon.com/heartlifenfp. For as little as $1 per month, you can ensure that we can keep bringing you great audio fiction. We're currently getting close to being able to release a one-off episode about Special Agent George Chamberlain's first case. Head over to patreon.com/heartlifenfp to learn more. Thank you all so much for listening. And as always, we'll see you in the tunnels.